Hey folks, it's Mike Young with Noble Warriors back for another episode of what we call Manhood in the Media Spotlight. It's a time when we take a current events article or fairly recent article and just kind of focus in on where we see manhood playing out in this in our current events and our cultural moment. So I want to highlight an article. Actually, it's a commentary piece in the opinion section from the Wall Street Journal. It came out on September 13th, 2023. So just this year, it's about a month ago. The title for this is School is a Hostile Environment for Boys. And the subtitle, Teaching Methods Are Better Suited for Girls Who've Gotten Better Grades for a Century. Erica Komazar is the author of this piece. It's not a very long piece, but man, it stirred some stuff up in me because I've been watching this for a long time. We have been a public school family, so we've had four kids go through public school. Because of COVID, our daughter finished out in a homeschool environment and doing some dual enrollment stuff with a local community college. But all three of our boys graduated from public high schools. And all four of our kids have gone on to public universities. So we have seen firsthand in our experience what this looks like. And I've done a fair amount of reading about the differences in how young boys and young girls learn and what their experiences are like in school and why we are getting some of the outcomes that we do. But Erica Komazar just really pours some things out here that I want to speak to. Let me give you a first paragraph. It comes out of the gate like this. If boys were dramatically outperforming girls in school, policymakers would declare a crisis and urgently seek ways to reduce the disparity. In fact, girls are dramatically outperforming boys. Why don't boys get the same respect? And I don't know if you're in a position to pay attention to that, but I have, like I said, seen this firsthand. As a matter of fact, I was just telling Greg, our producer, that I'm a little bit of a nerd when it comes to paying attention to this because by God's grace, our kids have done fairly well in school. So I've been in a number of honors and awards ceremonies and assemblies at the various schools. And so when I get the program, Stacy's a little bit embarrassed by this, but I will make a little mail, what is it? I don't know, the circle with the arrow, and then the female symbol is the circle with the plus down below it. So I'll put those next to every category of award, and I'll keep tally marks of how many girls are being recognized versus how many boys. And can I tell you that the disparity is absolutely clear? And again, I've got stacks of these that I've kept, and someone said, what are you going to do with those? And right now is the moment where I can talk about this a little bit, and it may be worth some more time. But when I look at the number of kids who are getting recognized and awarded for their performance in certain areas, in some cases, there's almost no boys being recognized. In some cases, you'll go to National Honor Society's events, and like in one case, I've got this here. There were 18 boys inducted into the National Honor Society and 38 girls, twice as many girls as boys. Does that mean that girls are smarter than boys or boys are dumber than girls? I don't know. I'll leave that to you guys to figure that out. But there is a significant disparity here. And if it were this, if the scale were tipped or the meter were moving in this direction, and there were only half as many girls being recognized as boys, then I think we would we would hear some noise about that and we would be doing something. But it's not socially acceptable. It's not culturally inviting to say, hey, the boys are struggling here and they need some help. And are boys struggling because boys inherently can't do this stuff? Well, I think boys are pretty interested in science. I think boys are pretty interested in a lot of the disciplines that we're teaching in school. But what I see, what this commentator calls out and what many others have suggested is that our teaching methodologies don't work as well for boys as they do for girls. As a matter of fact, we've kind of seen a tremendous shift. Some little boys never see a male in a school environment. If they're in a public school environment, heck, if they're in a homeschool environment, they never see, many young boys never see a male involved in teaching or engaged in education until it might be the custodian or the gym teacher at the local elementary school. And by the time they get to middle school, there may be a small portion of guys, but we just aren't seeing men in the classrooms. We're seeing more females as teachers, and God bless them. I mean, we love the teachers our kids have had, but are we teaching in ways where little boys can learn well? When we take away recess, when we take away active learning, when we take away some of those things, boys' bodies are designed differently. They're designed for action and activity, and they want to move. And when they do that in an environment that is set up for success for people who remain still and quiet and are very attentive, then it looks like the boys are missing the mark. But I got to tell you, man, there are some cool, cool schools. There's a school called Iron Academy down in Raleigh, North Carolina, that is really teaching in a way that young boys get it. I mean, they go outside, they have breaks where they teach by tossing a medicine ball around. And so the teacher will ask facts as they're kicking a medicine ball around, and they're doing active stuff. So it's not that boys can't engage in this. It's that sitting still and learning while sitting still doesn't always work for them. Boys would be more active learners. And I can give you some links to some resources that would affirm this, but I just appreciate what Ms. Kozar is on track for here. Let me tell you about some of the long-term challenges of this. I love this paragraph. The opening of opportunity to women, meantime, this is talking about what's going on for women here, has created a new disparity. Women account for some 60% of college freshmen. That has broader social implications. Since women tend to marry up, the consequence of this sex ratio imbalance is that educated women have a harder time finding suitable mates, contributing to a decline in marriage, an increase in out-of-wedlock childbearing, and an effort to put a happy face on the latter by women declaring themselves single mothers by choice. Well, folks, we're seeing a degradation of the family in this, and it comes out of the fact that boys, because they're not performing well in school, there's a shame associated with that and a sense of inability. They don't have a good sense of who they are and what they can do. They're not appreciated as boys and eventually as men. And so they just kind of give up on life. This is why we've got so many young men who have opted out of the workforce. They've opted out of education, and they're just kind of wandering, listless and lost young men. We've got guys writing about this. As a matter of fact, I talked about this with Nancy Piercy, and the number of guys who are just lost because there's no clarity about where to go. And some of this starts with the way that we're teaching them. Let me give you another one, another paragraph. From preschool, children are asked to sit quietly for long periods of time. That is developmentally unnatural for boys who have far more testosterone than girls. When boys are asked to suppress their energy and aggression rather than sublimate it into healthy activity, they develop high levels of cortisol, properly known as the stress hormone. That sends them into fight or flight mode, which makes them distractible, agitated, and squirmy. I mean, you don't have to be very attentive to see that happens. It happens everywhere. Guys, if there's not a way for them to fidget and move around, then that just kind of bubbles out of them, and it bubbles out of them in a way that's often unhealthy and undesirable. These behaviors can resemble the symptoms of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and it's likely many boys are misdiagnosed and medicated. Now, folks, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a child analyst. I just would say to you, as a guy who's raised three sons and have watched this play out, that there's a lot of truth to this in some form or fashion, and little boys do better if they can get outside. Now, what does this have to do with us as we talk about men's ministry? Well, here's the deal. Your local church is probably teaching little boys and little girls the exact same way. You're using the exact same strategies in your church environment with your children's ministry programming that the local schools are using in their education. And so this is why I'm a huge advocate of men becoming involved in children's ministry education. Now, some of you may push back and say, hey, given the sexual problems that we've had in the churches and everything, there are restrictions. I get that. I get it 100%, but do the background checks, be willing to do your due diligence, but it makes a difference if little boys are doing things with their hands, if they can be active. Man, if you were to take them on a walk and teach them about Jesus walking with his disciples rather than sit them down and talk about how Jesus walked with his disciples, whoa, there's a big change there for little boys. And so we need to do those sorts of things. I'm really not a fan of having little boys sit there and put glue on this foam, this sheet foam stuff. What's up with that? And we put glue and glitter on it. And man, take a little boy outside and let him get a stick or something. I don't know, but let's figure out how to, in the context of the local church, teach little boys according to God's design for them. Let them feel confident and competent as they learn what it looks like to follow Jesus, to be someone who is a risk taker, who is a challenged, who sees the big picture, who wants to go on the great adventure with Jesus. Listen, we keep talking about trying to reach unengaged and unreached people groups. They are unreached and unengaged because they're hard to get to, and it's going to take courageous, risk-tolerant individuals to get to them. And if we're not raising up young men who know how to do that and who have that sense of, man, the most amazing thing I could do is be on adventure, on mission with Jesus Christ, then they're going to miss it. But if we keep pushing them down and telling them, hey, the way we learn about Jesus is we sit still in a chair. We sit still in a chair and we listen. Man, I think Jesus, he taught in groups and he did some of that stuff, but there was activity going on and there was movement. And so I think we need to lean into that and ask ourselves, how can we do more of this for our little boys in the local church? You know, I read a book one time. It's called Tally Ho the Fox by a guy named Herb Hodges. And one of the things that he says is that when soldiers are in garrison or when dogs are hanging around, if there's not something for them to do, they become a danger to themselves and a danger to others. And what he says in that book is, but when the fox runs by, the dogs take off and there's something to challenge, there's something to chase, there's something to pursue. The game is on. And when soldiers sit in garrison too long, they become a danger to themselves. But when there is a mission, when there is a cause to go after, when there is a battle to wage, they are focused and intent and they're moving in a direction and they become a force. Well, folks, we've got to help our little boys see the mission of Jesus that's in front of them and invite them to move in that direction. We've got to train them for that. We've got to invest in helping our children's ministry perspectives be focused on how can we richly invest in our little boys so that they can succeed and be excited about what it means to learn about Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to run with Jesus, to be on adventure with Jesus. And so that's why I got so stirred up about this article. This has a lot of implications, but we want to raise up men that are energetic and have this protective instinct, that have this risk tolerance, that have this desire to go and see the kingdom advance. And I think we can do a lot better than some of the things that we're doing in our local church children's ministry. So hope I haven't been too offensive in that, but that's how I think we can engage some men's ministry with this, is start helping little boys see what godly men do. So guys, if you're listening to this, I would encourage you, get in touch with the children's ministry director at your church and volunteer to work with some third and fourth and fifth grade boys. But let me tell you, bring your A game, because those guys are full of energy and they're looking for someone to follow. So get after it. That's enough for today, guys. Manhood in the Media Spotlight. We're going to give you a link to this article and a couple of other resources that may be helpful to you. God bless you, folks.